So we'll try to keep this as interactive as possible. We are learning Parashat Bechukotai. It's Parashat Bahar Bechukotai, both of them together this week. But we're going to be learning basically, essentially, one pasuk. And if we're really being minimalistic about it, we're learning two words tonight. Okay? So that's why the title of the shiur is 42 different ways to read two words. So we're just going to jump right into it because we have a lot to learn. We're not going to learn 42 ways, but we're going to learn something close to that, and you'll find out why. So the pasuk that we're talking about is the one right at the beginning of Parashat Bechukotai. That's the second of the two parashiot that we have this week. And it starts with, Im Bechukotai Teleicho Vet Mitzvotai Tishmeru Va'asitem Otam. Who wants to try to translate this pasuk? If I've got 42 different ways, let's see how everybody wants to translate this pasuk. Who's going to give it a shot? Somebody jump in. All right. Start off right away with the audience participation. Come on, someone. How do we read this pasuk? Someone translate it.
Okay. Okay.
No.
If you follow my laws and observe the mitzvot,
you will do them.
You will do them.
Okay. Anybody else have a different take?
Not pretty much the same thing.
Well, I mean, I noticed that there's a lot of words for law. Well, there's at least two words for laws here, Bechukotai and Mitzvotai. And then there's at least three verbs in the Pasuk. You have Telechu, huh? Tishmu, Asitem. What do you make of all this?
Well,
make something of it. Anybody can make something of it.
Well, we've heard that the difference between the chok and a mitzvah is a chok is doesn't necessarily have an obvious reason for it.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. That's what we learned a very long time ago. The difference between mitzvah, mishpat, and chok is that a mitzvah is something that we wouldn't have necessarily come up with it on our own, but once we have it, it makes sense. Shabbat, tzitzit, even Sukkot, Pesach, all those things. Whereas a mishpat is something that, you know, even we would have come up with it. In fact, human society does come up with it. Lo tirtzach, lo tignov, lo tinaf, kibud av ve'eim. These are all things that are very rational. They make a lot of sense. We would have guessed them even if we didn't have them. And then we have a chok. A chok is something that even when we're given the mitzvah, we still don't understand it. For example, shatnez, paraduma, basar v'chalav, etc. We don't understand these things even after we give them, but we still have to do them. So perhaps that's what the pasuk means over here. That could be. Let's take a look. We'll start with Rashi. And Rashi is not one of the 42, by the way. We'll see why. So Rashi says, famous comment right at the beginning, he points out, Im b'chukotai teilechu. My father wanted to translate this as, if you follow the Torah's laws, right? And then you, I don't know, tishmeru means you observe them, something like that. So Rashi says, Yachol zakiyum ha-mitzvot. You might understand that Im b'chukotai teilechu refers to the observance, basically the performance of the commandments. But he says, but then it says, k'shomer v'et mitzvotai tishmeru, when it says afterwards, you observe the mitzvot, harei kiyum ha-mitzvot amur. That's definitely talking about the observance of the commandments and the performance of them. So, hama ani mekayim im b'chukotai teilechu. How do we understand im b'chukotai teilechu? Et mitzvotai tishmeru definitely covers the performance of the commandments. So, where does im b'chukotai teilechu come in? So Rashi says, "Shetehiyu amelim b'Torah," that you should toil in Torah. Presumably, what Rashi means by this is the study of the Torah, that you should be very careful and put a lot of effort and very diligent in studying the Torah. So he already changed b'chukotai teilechu from following or doing the commandments to actually studying them. Of course, our question on Rashi, what would be our question on Rashi? If this is what Im b'chukotai teilechu, what would you ask on Rashi? Is this an easy and simple reading of the words b'chukotai teilechu?
It's not a literal translation of teilechu.
It's not only not literal, it's hard to understand.
Aricha implies some kind of advancing and therefore also study of the mitzvot.
Okay, that's a nice figurative language for it. But I think we'll all agree that teilechu certainly sounds like something physical that you'd be doing. And Rashi is talking about it being purely intellectual, which, you know, that's his based on the Midrash. It's not, Rashi is not coming up with this on his own, but it's certainly not the simplest understanding of it.
Halakha is not necessarily physical. Halakha is every aspect of Yahadut.
Well, I mean, when Hashem says to Avram, Lech Lecha, I don't think anybody thinks that Avram could get away with just thinking about going to Eretz Israel.
No, but Lalechet Bidrachai, something in that is not physical.
Yeah, so that's the direction you'd have to go. You'd have to say the Torah does not always refer to physical movement when we talk about halicha. Okay, fine. That's Rashi. I wanted to start with Rashi because he's Mishpat HaBechora, as the Ramban says. We also have to start with Rashi. But now let's jump ahead to the Or HaChaim. Rav Chaim Ibn Attar, a commentary that I actually have been studying Parsha this year. And when I got to this Parsha, I was very excited because I was actually aware of this commentary that he has on at the beginning of Parashat Bechukotai. The Or HaChaim has no less than 42 different interpretations of the words Bechukotai Teilechu in this parasha. We're not going to learn all 42, but he lists them. He's got 42 distinct, different interpretations. It's kind of reminiscent of the Beis Yosef's question and on Hanukkah when he says, why do we have 8 days of Hanukkah instead of seven? And people have books with 100 answers, with 500 answers. So the Or HaChaim has 42 different ways to understand this pasuk. Just for the record, I looked at Sefariah, and on this pasuk, there are 140-something different commentaries. That doesn't mean that they're all distinct, but it's a lot higher. Almost everybody talks about this pasuk. That's the point. But I do want to go through many of the interpretations of the Or HaChaim. We can go through, I don't know actually how many I left in. I think it might be about 25 to 30. And we'll go through as many as we possibly can. It's 9:07 right now. I'll put the hard stop at 10 o'clock. Let's see how far we can get. So even before the Or HaChaim gets into his interpretations, he just points out Rashi. He quotes the Midrash in Torah Tkoanim that says that it means Liot Amelim BaTorah, which is the same Midrash that Rashi is quoting. And then he says, why does the Torah call Amal HaTorah Chukah? Right, so he's less worried about the Halicha, he's more worried about the Chukah. Why is B'chukoteim Teleichu referred to Limud HaTorah? So he says, because Yesh Ba Mitzvah Afilu L'mod Vareim Shalamdam Pa'amayim V'shlosha. He says the reason is because with regards to the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, you have to learn it. You have to learn it even if you've already learned it once. You have to learn it again and again and again and again. You still have to keep learning it. Why? Ki chafetz Hashem be'esek haTorah chuka chakak. He wants it to be engraved. He wants the Torah to be engraved, and he made this as a rule. And then he says that he quotes the Midrash that says, "Letam shelimor ha'adam Torah b'cheshek tamid gazra chokhmato yitbarach shi ha'adam lomed b'shocheach." What use do we have for forgetfulness? Why did Hashem create us with brains that are so faulty that they learn something one time and then they forget? Computers don't do that. You have to delete information to make it go away. But our brains, once we learn it, there's no guarantee that tomorrow we're actually going to remember it. Why? Because Hashem wants to make sure that we learn things over and over and over. We should never say, oh, I know it. I learned it once. I learned it in third grade. Therefore, I don't need to learn it again. No, he made sure that we would forget it so that we would have to learn it at least one more time. Okay, now, before we get into the 42, this is going to tie in later, actually, in one of the Perushim of the Or HaChaim. How could it be that the Or HaChaim has 42 different interpretations? What does that say? What does that make you, you know, does anybody think that that's a good thing? That's a bad thing? What does it say about the Torah that you could have 42 different ways to understand two words, B'chukotai Teilechu? Does it make anybody's eyes roll? Does it make people excited? How does it come off? The idea that there could be one person, by the way, you know, I very often give shiurim. There's two different kinds of shiurim you can give. You can give one shiur with one mahalach, and you want to bring all the proofs from different places to prove your point. Another kind of shiur that you can give is you can give one source and then give many different interpretations. But usually when you give many different interpretations, they come from different people. You'll have a Ramban, a Rashi, a Malbim, a Netziv, right? And then we analyze that. But here it's 42 different interpretations from one mind, from the Or HaChaim. It's pretty amazing. Is this typical of the Torah? So the answer is yes. Take a look at this Gemara. This is a Gemara in Sanhedrin. I have the English from Sefaria, which actually includes the Steinsaltz, I think, the Steinsaltz English editions. The context of this Gemara is actually about how a Beit Din is supposed to judge and how it has to write down interpretations. Hold on 1 second. It looks like some people are having trouble getting into the Zoom. So let me just send it out again to one or two people. Sorry. Just a second. Oh, there was a typo in the link? Looks like there was a typo in the link. Shoot.
There was an error in the first link. You then sent out a second link.
No, I know, but then Matthew sent one out on the Shifte Mobile, and it looks like it's missing the I. I don't know if it actually matters that it's missing the I in Shifte Zoom.
It does matter. That's not good. You want me to resend?
Yeah, maybe, because at least one person just said that they got an error message. Still plenty to catch. All right, so back to the Gemara. So this Gemara is talking about when a death penalty case is being judged, that all of the rabbis have to write down their reasoning for the next day. Okay, we're not going to go into the in-depth explanation of the Gemara, but the Gemara has this to say. The Gemara discusses the ruling of Rav Yochanan. The ruling of Yochanan is that the reason why the rabbis have to write down what they have to say is that if two rabbis come up with the same halakha, but they base it on two different verses, okay, then that only counts as one opinion. In other words, the same reasoning based on two different verses, this one has this verse and that one has that verse, that accounts only as one opinion. Gemara asks, why? Why is that the case? So Abayi says, because as the verse states, this is a pasuk in Tehillim, God has spoken once, twice I have heard this, that strength belongs to God. I put the Hebrew over here. Achat diber Elohim, shtayim zu shamati ki oz. Okay? Abai explains, one verse is stated by God, and from it emerges several explanations. But one explanation does not emerge from several verses. In other words, you could have a pasuk in Tanakh or in Torah, and you can have several different interpretations about that one pasuk, and that's fine. However, you cannot have two psukim in Tanakh that both teach the exact same thing. This is actually what's called in the profession omnisignificance, which means that every single, not only every single pasuk, but every single word and even every single letter provides meaning to the Torah, and you can never have anything that's meaningless. Ramban very much believes in this. Some Pashtanim, like Ibn Ezra, don't believe in that. They say, no, sometimes the Torah has extra letters here and there in order to get a point across or because it's stylistic. But omnisignificant says everything has a reason. So over here, they're understanding, Achat diber Elohim, shtayim zu shamati. Hashem says one thing and I hear two things. But it can never be that Hashem says two things and I'll hear one thing. That can't be. Now, just for irony, Rabbi Ishmael says, Matthew, are you raising your hand on purpose?
Yeah, some people are trying to get in. I think maybe they're in the waiting room. Can you let them in?
Waiting room. I will check. How do I let them in? I think everybody's getting in. I don't have to let anybody in.
No. Okay.
No.
I have some. There are some people, like some Dutch people, want to get in. So, and they're saying they're waiting. My brother and some other people.
Did they get the updated link?
Yeah. I sent them the Shifte link.
Well,
so can you check okay. if there are people in the
the waiting room is not enabled, so I don't know how they could be waiting. Okay, so as we were saying, so just for irony, right after the Gemara says that you can only that if you have one pasuk, you can learn many messages from it, but you can't learn the same message from one pasuk. What do you think comes next in the Gemara? Another pasuk that teaches the same rule. Right, the Gemara internally violates its own rule. Okay, in other words, alternatively, Tana de Beir Bishmal, this is okay, it just means that two different people learned it from two different places. Tana de Beir Bishmal, the verse states, is not my word like as fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces. Halo ko dvarai ke'esh, ke dvarai ke'esh, ne'um Hashem, uke patish yefotetz sela. Just like a hammer breaks a stone into several fragments, so too one verse is stated by God, and from it emerge several explanations. Okay, so in other words, this is another way of understanding the idea that one pasuk or one word even, or one even letter in the Torah can be split into several different understandings. Now, just to make this even more ironic, okay, the Gemara and Ta'anit says, "Kol Talmid Chacham she'eno kasheh kebarzel, eino Talmid Chacham." A rabbi who's not strong like iron, we're not learning the Gemara right now, is not a Talmid Chacham. Shneimar ki patish yefotzeitz sela. And Tosfot understands over there, Tosfot understands in Sukkah, but he's quoting Rabbi Natam, understands this Gemara is saying that, how do you understand this pasuk? Ki patish yefotzeitz sela. A patish is a hammer, okay? A sela is a rock. So you're banging on a rock, alternatively on an anvil, whatever. You're banging on a rock, and something is breaking. What's breaking? In this pasuk, what is the object of yefotzeitz?
Sela.
So Martin says it's sela, which means that the hammer sela, is yes. Banging on the rock, and it's breaking the rock into pieces. Yes?
Yes.
Okay, that's what Tosfot says. That's what Rabbeinu Tam says. That's the majority of you. Patish kasheh umifotzeitz et sela. It explodes the sela. The Malbim understands it the same way. Almost everybody understands it the same way.
But the very simple dictuk of that pasuk.
If you say so.
The direct object.
If you say so. No, it doesn't say et. It doesn't say et. It says ukipatish yefotzeitz sela.
Tosfot says umifotzeitz et sela.
That's Tosfot, but that's not what the pasuk says.
All right, but the pasuk says.
Exactly, exactly. But the Gur Aryeh, who's the Gur Aryeh? That's the Maharal.
Depends on the Ta'amim.
Of course it does. So the Maharal says, Perush ha-patish kasher yakeh ala sela shu davar kasheh. He says, the sela is the hard thing. Kama v'kama nitzotzim shel esh yotzim min ha-patish. V'zeu lashon mitchalek lefi sha-patish machmat shemakah ala sela mikoach ha-haka'a nitzotzot yotzim mimena v'zeu chaluk shelo. What does the Maharal understand? What's exploding over here? It's the sparks coming off of the hammer as it hits the rock. It's not the rock breaking. It's the hammer sparking. When you hit the rock with the hammer, a lot of sparks come out. And those sparks are pieces of Torah. The Maharal actually prefers this interpretation because there's nothing breaking in this interpretation. Right? If the Gemara is trying to say that the Torah should be understood in many different ways, just like kifatish yafotzeit sela. So the Maharal prefers to say nothing is breaking over here. It's just sparks coming off of everything remains intact, but sparks come off of the hammer, as opposed to the Balei Tosfot and many other interpretations that say no, it's the rock that's breaking into pieces. But this was all just an illustration of the very idea of multiple interpretations of the Torah lends itself to multiple interpretations. Within this conversation about Kifatish Yifotzei Tzela, we have different ways of understanding that very pasuk. So the idea that the Or HaChaim should have 42 different ways of understanding two words, not terribly surprising. It's not his mind that's doing it, it's the Torah that's doing it. Let's start.
Danny.
Okay. So here we go.
Danny.
Sorry. Yes, did I hear, miss something?
Yeah, this other point is that also another interpretation can be if the rock hit the hammer, then the energy is coming from the rock, so the rock is breaking himself. That's another interpretation.
Okay.
Who is making the sparks? Is that the hammer or is that the rock? Because the energy is coming from the rock.
I hear.
So we got a third or fourth definition.
I hear. I think generally the way that it's understood is that the action that's happening is that there's what's a patish and the hammer? So it's a person, it's a forger. Like let's say, you know, he's forging a sword. So he's banging on the sword on the anvil. That's at least the imagery in my mind, and I think that's the way that most interpretations understand it. But listen, it's open to interpretation. So it could be that way.
Supported by Tamim.
What's supported by Tamim? Which way, Pinchas?
Uchfatish yifotzeit sela. So it's the hammer that hits the rock.
Okay, yeah. Now, as I said, there's 42 different interpretations, but I'm going to choose to start with the third. Why am I starting with the third? Because in the third, the Orach Chaim makes our point. Od yirtzeh al pi ma'amaram zal, he quotes the Zohar, ki ha-Torah yesh ba dalet drachim. So he quotes the Zohar that says that there are four ways to interpret the Torah. What are they? Pshat, Remez, Drash, and Sod. Roshei Tevot for which word?
This.
Pardes, right? Ume elu nifridu shivim panim. So he says, and from those four, you can actually get 70 different interpretations. So he's at 42. So he's, you know, only 28 away from all 70. And he says, v'chol ofen lekama orchin ushvilin unativot. He says, and each one of those can break down into different drachim, different pathways. Okay, nitivot. V'hu ma sha'amar chukotai lashon rabim. Ubechukotai teilechu, not ubechuki. Bechukotai teilechu, teilchu perush bechol orchin ushvilin yelech behem beferush achtuvim. Velo yomar shein batora elapshat hamuvan lakol. He says this is one way of understanding. Ubechukotai teilechu, go in all the different directions, all the different chukim that I'm going to give you, all the different streets and avenues and tributaries. Go down all of them. Ubechukotai teilechu. Go down them. So that's his third interpretation for ubechukotai teilechu. Let's jump back to the first. Okay, the first interpretation he gives is lashon halicha, lomar shetzarich lasok b'torah afilu b'halichato al haderech. Literal interpretation. Literal, totally literal. Ubechukotai teilechu means walk everywhere you walk, do my mitzvot on the way. And you should always constantly be connected to me through ahava. Ubechukotai teilechu is basically an extension of ubelechtecha vaderech. Right, the Gemara in Brachot actually learns from ubelechtecha vaderech that you have to say Shema even on the way. So over here, it's telling you, according to the Orach Chaim, ubechukotai teilechu means literally you should be walking with my mitzvot. That's his first interpretation. The second one, basically, he says, "Basuk chashavti drachai shaya David." This is actually in the midrash. He quotes Vayikra Rabba. It's in the midrash. Shaya David choshev lasot inanim veraglav molichim oto meatzmam el beit hamidrash lerov hachifetz v'haratzon v'harigilut v'davar. That David was so connected to Torah and mitzvot that anywhere he went, he was by instinct, almost from muscle memory, he would instinctually walk in the direction of the Beit Midrash or the Beit Knesset to learn or to daven, because he was always involved in it and he loved it so much. V'hu omro im b'chukotai teilechu perush halichatam me'atzmati achareha. You should bring yourself to a level where you are constantly walking towards my chukim. K'maram David larov hacheshek v'harigilut. It brings to mind the first of all, I'm sure this happens to people all the time. If you have a specific place that you go to every single day, and then you have to deviate, you're changing your schedule, and you're not paying attention, you end up going to the wrong place. For example, remember back in the day when we used to go to work, right? We used to go to an office, or our kids used to go to school. So it used to be, pam haya, that I used to take my daughter to Gan. And I would sometimes take her on my bike, and sometimes I would take her in the car after dropping off the other kids. But no matter what, I would always ride my bike to work. So from my house, my bike to work goes actually past my daughter's gun. So usually I would bring my daughter to gun in the car after going with my other kids to their school, and then I would go home, and then I would take my bike to work, no problem. But sometimes I would take my kids to school, and then I would come back, and then I would take my daughter to Gan on the way to work. But what would occasionally happen, because I was so used to going straight to work, I would miss the turnoff to go to Gan, right? Because I would just be going, and then all of a sudden my daughter would, you know, tap me from behind, or sometimes it was way too late, and I'd have to go all the way back. But that's what it means to, you know, habitually go somewhere. So David HaMelech was that way. He had muscle memory. He was habitually going towards mitzvot. That's what the Orach Chaim says ubechukotai teilechu means. That you should be like almost like an engraved pathway. Okay. fourth interpretation. We're not going to do all of them. Don't worry. You can see that there's dots. So we're going to skip from 4 to 7. It says, "Ba'omro teleichu al derech omro b'chol drachecha de'ehu." Oh, so here you go. Here, this is what Pinchas was talking about a little bit. "B'chol drachecha de'ehu." In all of your paths, you should know him. And the Rambam says, what does that mean? The Rambam says, "Yasim alibo kadeshi agufo shalem b'chazak kadeshi tiyeh ladat at Hashem." The Rambam writes famously that part of "b'chol drachecha de'ehu" means that you should be fit. You should eat well and you should exercise and your body should be strong. For what purpose? So that you can learn and do Torah mitzvot. But what does that mean? That means that everything that you do in order to keep your body fit and healthy should be with that in mind. With that in mind, the idea that everything I'm doing is so that I can serve God better. My best friend in yeshiva, when we were in yeshiva in Israel, at a certain point when he was getting very, very serious, so he wrote the word "why" on a piece of paper, and he put it on the wall next to his bed. And nobody could figure out what it meant. It's just like, why? So I figured it out. I confirmed with him. The idea was that he would look at it every single night before he went to sleep. And he would say, I'm asking myself, why am I going to sleep? I'm going to sleep so that when I wake up in the morning, I can be strong and I can daven well and I can learn well. That's b'chol drachecha de'ehu. So the Aruch Chaim says, "V'hum amar katuv kan im b'chukotai teleichu b'shpil esa katora teleichu b'chol darchichem b'achila b'mishte b'dibur b'chol ma'aseh ha'mesovev ma'tivi'ut." B'chukotai teleichu means that in all of your walking, it should be for the sake of chukotai. B'chukotai, for the purpose of chukotai teleichu. Everywhere you go, everything you do, keep in mind why you're doing it. All right, that's interpretation number 4. Interpretation number 7, skipping, says, so the Mishnah in Pirkei Avot that we just read this past week, I'm sure everybody read all of the Mishnayot in Perek Dalet in depth and didn't just mumble through them. Havigola l'makom Torah. You should exile yourself to a makom Torah. This is perfect for our Corona times. Take a look what he says. He says, "Tzarich lechatet raglav mekom mekom lemo Torah." Sometimes you have to go from place to place in order to properly learn Torah. Tzeil mami divrehem beGemara ki kulan hayu golin lilmod veyeshe haolech shisha chadashim bechozer kamo ken lasok biyom aleph. Okay, I'll tell you 2 things about this. Number one, of course, there's a halacha that one of the reasons why it's legitimate to leave Eretz Yisrael, you know, that there are 3 legitimate reasons to leave Eretz Yisrael, and one of them is to learn Torah. Lu yitzuyar, that there was nowhere to learn Torah in Eretz Yisrael, which is not the case anymore. But lu yitzuyar, that all the yeshivas that were worth going to were only in Chutz Laaretz. So you would have to go to Chutz Laaretz in order to learn Torah. The other thing is that this Gemara in Chagiga is actually one of my favorite Gemaras. I'm not going to go into the whole story, but this is a story about one of the Amoraim who used to walk half a year to get to his Rebbe, learn with his Rebbe for a day, and then have to walk back for a half a year to his home so that he could work, right? So he would basically work for a month and then, you know, be traveling for most of the year and learn for like a day or two. And all the other Talmidim were making fun of him for this. And then the Rebbe praised him because he said, you're going to get schar, limud Torah, for the, you know, 5.5 months that it took you to walk here and the 5.5 months that it took you to walk back. Because all of that walking, that was for the sake of Talmud Torah. So Hashem considers it as if you're learning Torah the whole time. That's what the Gemara in Chagiga says. But anyways, back to this point. Habigol al-Makom Torah. The Aruch Chaim says, "Im b'chukotai shehi esek haTorah tzrichim shetalchu mimekom kamechem achareha b'chukotai teleichu." Walk somewhere for the sake of Torah. Go wherever you need to go in order to be able to learn Torah. Now, what does he say? "Kedei shetiyu pnuyim ein nachon elmod v'hu bebeito ki yitzudu b'torchei abayit." Listen, you can't learn at home. It's just too much noise, too much distractions. Too much going on. You're too comfortable. Can't learn at home. You got to go somewhere to learn. Be'ezrat Hashem, one day soon, we'll be able to leave our homes and go to Bet Midrashot and go to Bet Knesiot to learn Torah. Of course, you should learn in the home, but sometimes you got to get out in order to learn, in order to have some clarity of mind. So live your father and your mother. You have to go find the places. You have to go to yeshiva. You have to go to a boarding yeshiva. You can't just go to a day school yeshiva. All right.
Can I?
My father is about to say something. Yes.
I have a question. None of these reasons we've read, at least so far, address the structure of the pasuk, which says im b'chukotai telechu. And then at the end, vasitem otam. They address the word b'chukotai telechu, but they don't address the part that says im.
He's not going to address im, because the simple way, there are other ways, but the simple way to understand im is that the hemshah, right after this pasuk, is a list of rewards. If you do this, then this is going to happen. That's what the next pasuk is about. There are other interpretations that say im actually is offset by vasitem otam, but he's not going to mention that. He is, however, going to start to deal at some point with the rest of it, with et mitzvotai tishmaru, and he's going to deal with vasita motam. But he's not really going to deal with im, because the simple way to understand im is just that it refers to the reward that's going to come afterwards. But he is going to get to the other parts of the pasuk. You're right that he's focused right now on im chukotai telechu. Okay, this is number eight. Okay, sheyesh shnei svarot. Okay, this is wild. Okay, this I was surprised. This raised my eyebrows, this interpretation. This is a Gemara in Avodah Zarah. Gemara in Avodah Zarah says that two different Amoraim had two different opinions, Rabbi Chanina and Rabbi Yonatan. One of them said that they had to get to a certain destination. And in order to get from point A to point D, okay, you could either go via Rehov B or Rehov C. I made this very complicated. They had to get from one place to another, and there were two ways to go. The problem was that one of the ways, you passed by a Beis Avodah Zarah. And the other way, you passed by a Beit Zonot. Okay, so you're either going to go by a brothel, or you're going to go by a church. Which is better? So they had an argument about which way was better to go. One said, Nechlef apitcha de Avodah Zarah, the Nachas Yitzray. One of them said, we're going to go via the Beit Avodah Zarah. Why? Because based on the Gemara in Yuma, the Anshe Knesset Agdola already destroyed or abolished the Yetzer Hara for Avodah Zarah. So even if we go by the church, we're not going to be tempted to go in or to worship Avodah Zarah. Nobody's saying that Avodah Zarah is a good thing now, but at least we're not going to be drawn after it. Whereas the Beit Zonot, we're going to be drawn after it. It's not a good thing. The second one said, "Nachlef apitcha de zonot ki heichid nichpaye liyatzran unekabel igra." The other one said, "We should dafka go by the Beit Zonot, so that we will be tempted and we won't go in, and we'll get schar for not going in." Okay, that's what the Gemara says. The Gemara does not give a conclusion over there, as far as I remember. So it's left up for grabs. But then, the Or Chaim says we can actually learn the answer from our pasuk. How? Uba katuv hichria im haomer nechlef apitcha dezonot. You know who's right? The one who says that you should go by the Beit Zonot. Why? Because it says im b'chukai teilechu perush yicholin atem leilech v'anim avtichachem she'et mitzvotai tishmoru shiukofin yitzram. Here you go. He used the second part of the pasuk. He says im b'chukotai teilechu v'et mitzvotai tishmoru. It's not v'et mitzvotai tishmoru. It's mitzvotai tishmoru. If you walk in my chukim, then I will make sure that you'll be okay. So you should go by the Beit Zonot so that you get a mitzvah. You get a mitzvah for not going in and not violating tons and tons of Giloy Areot Averot. And Hashem promises, I'll take care of you if you do that. You'll be able to be Shomer the mitzvot. And the Or Chaim says, but wait a second. Im tomar b'lama yachnis atzmo b'safek zeh. Why put yourself into the situation? Zamar v'asitem otam. The reason to do it is because you will get schar. Because the way to get schar for an avera, we all know that in order to get schar for a mitzvah, it's very easy. What do you have to do? If you want to get schar for a mitzvah, just do it. How do you get schar for a mitzvah? Lo tase. How do you get schar for Shmirat Shabbat? How do you get schar for, you know, the mitzvah of not doing borer on Shabbos? The simple answer is you don't do borer on Shabbos, but I'm always not doing borer on Shabbos.
I have the opportunity to do it, but I don't.
So you have the opportunity, and presumably the inclination, a good reason to do it, and you stay away from it. This is actually based on a Rabbeinu Yonah, Talmid Rabbeinu Yonah, and the Gemara in Brachos. But he says that if you walk by the Beit Zonot and you don't go in, you just got schar. You got schar for avoiding Gilei Ariot. And he said, that's what it means over here. Nichpaye liyatzon ki heched nikabel egra. You're going to get reward. So he wants to say that our pasuk says that the right thing to do is to go by the Beit Zonot to be mekayim ubechukotai teleichu vet mitzvotai tishmeru vasitem otam.
Well, Rabbi, there's a problem with that.
There's a lot of problems with that.
Okay. I'll let you deal with the problems then. The problem is that it says, if you, in bechukotai teleichu, okay, I can understand that. But it doesn't say, im lo bechukotai teleichu.
It will say later, it would say, im lo tishmeu.
No, but that is tishmeu, there's a difference. There's a huge difference between saying, if you don't listen to me, then these things are going to happen. But it says here, if you follow my steps, then this is what's going to happen. By this moment in time, we're not focusing on what you're saying, because in the Gemara, it could have said, it depends where you're going. If you have to go through past the brothel, or if you have to go past the church, it depends very much on where you're going to say, don't go at all.
Right, so the Gemara is assuming that it's a place that you have to go to. I wonder if, according to the Orchaim's interpretation, you should just always look for Beit Zonot to walk by. Meaning, regardless, if you take his interpretation all the way to the logical ends, but I will quibble with the point that you made, because the way that the Orchaim is reading the Pasuk, it doesn't just say, Im b'chukai teleichu, it says, Im b'chukotai teleichu, vet mitzvotai tishmer, which according to the Orchaim means, if you keep my chukim, then I will make sure that you will keep the mitzvot. It's a promise. Yeah. In other words, the promise for b'chukotai teleichu is mitzvotai tishmeru.
That's vasitem otam.
Vasitem otam is an explanation of...
It comes as the reward. Because you have studied and learned my mitzvot, then I make sure that vasitem otam, that you can do it when you stand before temptation, you can do it because you have studied.
Exactly. That's interpretation. I would have just said there's a philosophical problem here. There's actually a tefillah problem here, which is that every single morning, what do we say to Hashem in our at least Ashkenazim? We say Val Tivieni Lili Deched. That's not what I'm talking about. Where is it? At the beginning in the Olam Yehi Adam Yerushmaim Beseter. Looking for it. Lolidei Nisayon, where is that? Is that in... Oh, am I looking in the wrong place? It's in Alkai Netzor. Where is Lolidei Nisayon? Baal Tevieni Lolidei Nisayon.
I have a question. Actually, I'm just not sure if I'm understanding it correctly. But as far as I understand, the hukim, these are the things that our mind is not able to comprehend, that we don't understand. And so what, from my point of view, the interpretation is that if you will follow the commandments, which you're not even able to comprehend, to understand, or don't give any ratio to it, and you will follow them, then I will give you as a reward also the strength to follow my mitzvot, but as a reward.
Nice interpretation. We can give that the status of number 43, because as far as I know, the Or Chaim doesn't mention that one, but it's a very good interpretation. We pointed out at the beginning that chukim is usually understood as the mitzvot that we don't understand. I don't know why I'm having so much trouble finding this, because I know that it's here. Where is the part of the tefillah where we say,
v'al tevieni
lo l'dei
nisayon? It's in Korbanot, at the beginning. Korbanot?
Where? At the beginning.
L'olam yehi adam. It's like in the beginning.
Yeah, I'm looking there, and I don't know why that I must just be skipping the words.
It's after the brachot, right? I mean, it's the first ketah after the brachot.
Oh, there it is. I was looking in the wrong place. Right, it's after Mavir Shana Meina Yitma Meafa Paiv. Yotzan Mufanecha Hashem Elokeinu V'Gavatenu, etc. Ve'al Tivieni Lo Dechet V'Lo De'Avira Ve'Avon V'Lo De'Nisayon V'Lo De'Bizayon. We beg Hashem not to bring us to a point of nisayon, not to test us, right? We beg him not to test us with things. But over here, it sounds like we're trying to get tested. Truth is that the Mesilat Yesharim, the Ramchal in his Mesilat Yesharim, says the whole point of life is to be tested. And yet, we're supposed to avoid it as much as possible. In other words, we're supposed to come up with ways to avoid tests, even though that's the whole point of life. So there's a tension over here. Okay? I'll just say this is very surprising because we usually don't advise people to put themselves in a situation where they're going to sin. So to say that, you know, Dafka from here, that this is a good reason to go by the path of the Zonot is surprising, but that's what the Gemara says, and the Orach Chaim finds support for it from this pasuk. Okay, let's continue because there's a lot more, and I definitely want to get through some. So he says, number 10. Okay, so we're skipping from 8 to 10. We skip 9. Poor number 9. It says, Ki Eisek HaMitzvot. Ah, so he's saying over here that that there is a, in a certain way, the involvement in Limud HaTorah is superior to involvement in performance of mitzvot. Talmud Torah is greater than Asiyat Mitzvot. Why? Because a person could be involved in mitzvot, and he does mitzvot all the time, and yet it doesn't protect him from sinning. It's only a finite power. Gemara in Sota talks about how mitzvot protect you only when you're actually doing them. However, a person who is involved in Torah is protected even when he's not actually involved in them. Why? Because with regards to Torah, it says, Tzidkato omeret la'ad, that its benefit, right, that tzedakah that Hashem gives to you for doing limud Torah is eternal. And he says, based on that, Yizkeh lalechet ba belechto lo'olam ha'elyon. This is actually a very different interpretation, because here he's saying that it's going to protect you from sinning, right, which will let you go towards God, not in this world. Okay, so for the first time, the Orach Chaim is saying, B'chukotai teilechu doesn't actually mean anything for this world. It means for the Olam Ha'elyon, for Olam Haba, to get reward in the next world. So if you do my chukim, then you will teilechu. He'll actually return to this all the way at the end, if we have time. All the way at the end, he has a similar interpretation. Okay, number 14. We're skipping to number 14. It says, okay. The Gemara in Menachot says, Adam osek beparshat ola, ma'ale alav ki'ilu hikriv ola. If a person is learning the korbanot, then it's as if he brought the korbanot. This is the reason why we say korbanot in the morning. It's in lieu or as a replacement for the actual korbanot themselves. The Gemara in Kedushin says that Abraham begged God for some kind of way that his children, his descendants, will be protected from God's wrath even after the Beit HaMikdash is destroyed. And Hashem said, all they have to do is say the korbanot, and I will treat it as if they brought the korbanot. Based on the pasuk in Hosea, Unishalma parim sfatenu. Our sfatot, our lips, are bringing parim, are bringing korbanot. And he says, V'loze b'lvad, ela kol mitzvah mitzvah. So the Orach Chaim takes the position that every single mitzvah, if you learn about the mitzvah, then the Torah treats it as if you did it. This is not a pashut thing. The Chafetz Chaim disagrees with this, and many disagree with this. They say that it's only korbanot that gets the special zchut, but the Orach Chaim says explicitly that it applies to every single mitzvah, that if you learn a mitzvah, it's in a certain way, it's as if you did it. V'hum ha'amar ha'katuv, im b'chukotai teleichu v'et mitzvotai tishmeru, otam she'ein mitziyut lasotam. He says specifically, if you cannot do the mitzvah, but tiyu mechakim otam, matay yavo liyadcham lasotam, if you pine for the mitzvah, and you hope for it, and you wish for it, and you learn all about it, ma'ale ani aleichem kilo asitam otam gamken. If you pine for the mitzvah, if you yearn for it, then Hashem treats it as if you did it, even if you have no opportunity to do it. So, you know, we non-kohanim, we non-Kohanim can learn the halachot of Berchat Kohanim and, you know, wish that we could do it. And thereby, we can also get a chelik in that mitzvah. I don't give you only schar machshava. It's not like I only give you credit for thinking about it. I give you credit for even doing it. Vasitem otam. Im b'chukotai teleichu, v'et mitzvotai tishmeru, vasitem otam. It's as if you did them. Okay. That's interpretation number 14. We're going to jump to 16 now, Ted Zion. He says, Asur la adam lasum, Gemara Baruch says that a person is not allowed to go on the road. This actually came up recently in a conversation with a couple of Talmidim. A person is not allowed to take a trip before he davens and learns Torah in the morning. So a person should learn Torah and daven before they start getting involved in their own personal affairs. Based on the Pasuk in Tehillim, Tzedek lefanav yahalech v'yasem lederech. You should do Tzedek first, and then you go on the way. V'tzeil man ma'asham rabazor, the Zohar says, ha'hochim baderech v'ein b'neim divrei Torah. It's dangerous. Okay, so how do we learn that from this Pasuk? Kesheyesh limud, in other words, in b'chukotai teilechu, perush, kesheyesh limud Torah telchu. As telech levetach. In b'chukotai teilechu means, if you were involved in chukotai, only then, teilechu. In b'chukotai, if you learned them, then teilechu. Then you'll be protected. Okay, that's interpretation number 16. Number 17. He points out, it's interesting that it says, u'b'chukotai, in b'chukotai, teilechu, which is lashon atid. So he says, perush tachshavu lalechet. Tishmru gam kein tachshavu la'asot shmira v'asitam otam, perush ma'ala ani alechem ki'ilu kvar asitam otam. So he says, this is similar to the previous, it's similar to the previous one, but it's based on the Gemara Shabbos that says that if you intended to do a mitzvah, but then were held back from it, for whatever reason, ne'enas v'lo asa'a, Hashem treats it as if you did it. It's actually in Gemara Shabbos, I think it mentions that this is one of the differences between Jews and non-Jews, that with regards to Jews, if a Jew intends to do a good deed, he intends to do a mitzvah, but then he doesn't have a chance to do it, then Hashem treats it as if he did it. He treats machshava kema'aseh, but for non-Jews, he doesn't. If I remember correctly, it's either Gemara in Shabbos or Gemara in Kiddushin that says that. So, im b'chukotai teilechu, meaning if you planned to do it, then I treated it as if you did it. Okay, fine. That was 17. We're jumping all the way to 25. Okay, I knew that we were going to run out of time, so we skipped about 8 over there, 7 or 8. And here, what the Orach Chaim says is, "Im b'chukotai akatu medaber b'mitzvah shenikra chuka, shei mitzvah tefillin." Okay, so here he says there is a mitzvah that actually is called directly a chok. There are a few, but one of them is actually tefillin because it says "v'shamarta et hachukah." It's actually a machlokas, I think, in the Gemara in Pesachim about what mitzvah this is talking about. But one opinion says that it's talking about tefillin, that the word chukah over here means tefillin. It's in the context of tefillin. And he says, Telchu al derech Amram, minhag arishonim menichin tefillin bezoram u'burosham kol hayom holech mibito lebeit midrash tefillin berosho. Because the way that people used to be is they used to walk everywhere with the tefillin on their head. Right? Nowadays, we just put them on for davening, and then we take them off at the end of davening. People who are really, really midaktik, put them on at home, and then walk to shul in them, and then take them off after davening and then go home. But back in the day, they used to walk everywhere with the tefillin. So that's what this pasuk is talking about. B'chukotai teilechu, with the mitzvah that is called the chok, which is the mitzvah of tefillin, you should walk. And he extends this to all mitzvot that you wear or mitzvot that you walk around with. That's what it's talking about here. You know, it's another literal interpretation. All the way at the beginning, if you remember, he had a literal interpretation that was that you should do mitzvot al haderech. Everywhere you go, you should do mitzvot. Here he says you should be walking with the mitzvot. B'chukotai teileichu, with my mitzvot walk. Specifically with tefillin, but also with other ones. He has a nice ending over here. He says, Vasitam otam kilu amar vasitam atem. Tefillin has the special zchut that it actually changes a person when he puts on the tefillin shel rosh. He becomes a more kadosh person. The Rambam writes about this. And so when you put the tefillin on your rosh, it's like you're making yourself. So instead of vasitam otam, the otam over there is missing a vav, I think, if I remember correctly. Let's just jump up and see. And so it could be read as vasitam atem. There you go. Vasitam atem instead of vasitam otam. Okay, what number were we up to? Getting back down here. Okay, we're up to 27 now. Okay, got 10 minutes is a hard stop. So here, the Gemara says, this is a great story. So this is based on a Gemara in Shabbos. The Gemara says, the Gemara in Shabbos over here is talking about Ein Mazal Yisrael. But in context, it's talking about all the different astrological signs and what they mean for people. So for example, the most famous one is the sign of Mars. Who remembers? What does the sign of Mars mean? If you're born b'mazal ma'adim, what does it mean about you? Who knows?
You're angry. Again? Person.
You're angry. You're bloodthirsty. Yeah, you're bloodthirsty. You're aggressive. That's right. You're bloodthirsty. So he's going to use this interpretation actually a couple of times. But also in that Gemara, it tells a story about a person who was born under a certain astrological sign. And the mother of this person was told, okay, so this is the mother of Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. This is Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. He's quoted all the time in the Gemara. The mother of Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak was told that her son was going to be a ganav. He was going to have an inclination to be a robber. Instead of just, you know, dismissing this prediction out of hand, she was concerned. So what did she do? She made sure he was always wearing a kippah. It says he was always wearing a kippah. She made sure that his head was always covered, so he'd always be looking up to Shemayim. He would always be thinking. The Gemara says one day the kippah fell off his head and he didn't notice. And he was in the middle of a field, somebody else's field, and he was sitting reading a book. Kippah fell off his head. He reached up and pulled an apple off a tree. It wasn't his tree. It wasn't his apple. Immediately, he stole the moment the kippah fell off. That's what the Gemara says. So he says, "Chash Hashem ki omar adam ki kishayesh amazal magid al rasha hanolad bo ein biadol etakein vanusu upatur bi'onesh." So the Aruch Haim says, if it's really the case that we can be so subject to the mazalot, then maybe we can exempt ourselves from all the mitzvot. We can just say, listen, this is who I am. This is how I was born. There's nothing I can do about it. If I'm a robber, I'm a robber. If I'm a murderer, then I'm a murderer. I am what I am, as Popeye says. So comes along the Aruch Haim and he says, "Laze amar im b'chukotai sheim amazalot telchu perish yisovevu etchem haloch baderech lotov inchem turim b'tanazu." So this is actually the first interpretation where, according to the Aruch Haim, it's actually a bad interpretation of chukotai. Here, chukotai is not the mitzvot; it's actually the opposite. It's the chukim of the mazalot. It's the structural. It's the forces of astrological nature that are going to control you, and you're going to say, "B'chukotai teleichu." I'm just going to do what the mazalot say. He says, "No, no, no, no. You still have to et mitzvotai tishmeru." Even if you want to say that the mazalot control you, you still have an obligation to try to fight that and to keep the mitzvot. There's always a tikkun lamazal. And that's what the mother of Nachman Bar Yitzchak is doing. She gave him a kippah and that protected him most of the time. Okay, very interesting interpretation. The other one, the next one, actually goes along the same lines. He says, based on the same Gemara in Shabbat, he says, what about the one that I mentioned, Mars, that Martin so astutely mentioned, refers to the idea that a person is oshid dama, he becomes bloodthirsty. So what does the Gemara say? So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Ashi, what does a person who is born under the astrological sign of Mars, what's he going to be? What's going to happen to him? So Rav Ashi says, the truth is he has three options. The first option is that he's going to be an umna oganva. Umna is going to do something professionally with it, or he's going to be a ganav, or he's going to be a violent robber, or tavcha, he's going to be a slaughterer, he's going to be a shachter, or he's going to be a mohel, he's going to do a britim. Either any one of those is a usage of that inborn trait, but you see that it goes in all different directions. You choose how you use your genetic proclivity. And so he says, "V'omro im b'chukotai teleichu shehem chukot ha-shamayim shehem ha-mazalot." Same way of understanding that. "Ve'et mitzvotai tishmeru shehem shchita mila ba'zeh atem osim ha-shemara b'mazalot b'dvar mitzvah." So here he says, "Ve'et mitzvotai tishmeru" isn't, as in the previous interpretation, you know, a call to you to nevertheless keep the mitzvot, but rather it's saying, even if you believe that b'chukotai teleichu, find a way to funnel it, to channel it towards mitzvot. Find a way to become a mohel instead of being a murderer. Okay, I see that we're running out of time, so I want to make sure that we get through some more really, really good ones here. I highlighted these, so they must be good. Here, we're jumping to number 37. All right, there's 42. We're jumping to number 37. So based on the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, So the Gemara and Rosh Hashanah, here's a halachic one. Okay, so this is what I was looking for. There are halachic ones. So the Gemara and Rosh Hashanah tells the story about Ibur Hashanah. What's Ibur Hashanah? Sometimes we have one Adar, sometimes we have two Adars. Why? Why do we sometimes have one Adar, so why do we sometimes have two Adar? Who can tell me?
Sun and moon.
Okay, that's true.
To fill in the days in the calendar, because some days are 29 days, some days are 30, and they have to all together within certain period of time fulfill the necessary amount of days.
So that's correct. The question is why. In other words, Pinchas.
So the holidays will be together at the same time. The holidays.
Which holiday, Ravit? Which holiday?
Pesach.
Because, as the Gemara says, Chazit demashchat kufa tevet ad shitzar v'nisan. If you see that tevet is going to go all the way until the 16th of Nisan, abre lahayshata v'lo techush. Then, no matter what, give an Ibur Shana. Why? Shamor et chodesh ha'aviv, shamor aviv shal tkufa shiyeh b'chodesh Nisan. Because Pesach has to be b'chodesh ha'aviv. Why would Pesach not be b'chodesh ha'aviv? I call this the Ramadan problem. Pinchas, as you pointed out, you have a solar calendar and you have a lunar calendar. Most of the world follows the solar calendar, but religiously, both Jews and Muslims keep the lunar calendar. Right? We follow the moon. However, the difference between Jews and Muslims is that the Muslims do not have an Ibur Hashanah, which is why Ramadan moves all over the place. Sometimes it's in the summer, sometimes it's the fall, sometimes it's in the winter. It's crazy. It could be any time, right? As opposed to the Christians who always have a white Christmas. The Muslims, it could be any time. We want to make sure that in this case, our Pesach is always in Aviv. So we take care of that by adding a month, which we do it on purpose, okay? So he says, "Im b'chukotai teilechu perish l'fi cheshbon ha'ibur, l'fi chukot ha'shamayim she'meima ulevana behodat hazman teilechu." This isn't about astrology. This is about astronomy. This is making sure that you arrange the calendar teilechu according to the chukim and according to the mitzvot. Im kafia chukot she'atem hochim b'em lo yiyaken v'asitem otam. If according to the chukim, according to the way that we see that the moon is going, the Pesach is going to be in the wrong month, then vasita motam. You have to change things up. You have to do the mitzvah of Ibur Hashanah to make sure that Pesach happens in the right month. Here's another one. This is a little bit of a stretch. He says it's actually talking about the mitzvah of Tevel. The mitzvah of Tevel is untithed produce. So here in Eretz Yisrael, we know that you have to take Trumot and Masot from fruit, right? And if you don't, then it's called Tevel and no one is allowed to eat it. No one is allowed to eat Tevel. The funny thing about that is that Tevel is made up of two things, essentially. It's made up of the parts of the fruit that needs to be Trumot and Masot, and the other part that needs to be Chulin. Now, a non-Kohen can eat Chulin, and he cannot eat Truma. But a Kohen can eat both. Nevertheless, a Kohen is not allowed to eat Tevel, which is strange. No, because the Kohen is allowed to eat both parts of the fruit. He's allowed to eat the part that's Truma. He's allowed to eat the parts that's Chulin. But until you tithe the produce, he's not allowed to eat it. So that's a chok. Ein ze ela chuka. We finally got to that interpretation. That is, the word chok means an unrational, ununderstandable mitzvah. Nevertheless, even the Kohen is not allowed to eat Tevel until you do Hafrashat Trumot u'Masot. I see that it's 10 o'clock, but we only have two interpretations. So if you'll forgive me, I'm just going to say the last two. So the second to last one is, this is beautiful. So this is based on the Mishnah in Pirkei Avot, which is in the second parak. He says, based on, I believe it's Rabbi Lazar, who says, Shuv yom achad lifnei mitatcha. You have to do tshuva one day before you die. That's what Rabbi Lazar told his Talmidim. So his Talmidim said, well, that's amazing. You mean that if you do tshuva the day before you die, it doesn't matter everything that you did beforehand, get out of jail free card. As long as you do tshuva on the last day of your life, go crazy, do whatever you want. So Rabbi Lazar says, absolutely, it definitely works like that. There's only one problem.
You need to know where the day is.
You don't know when you're going to die. So you have to do kol yamav b'tshuva. V'hu ma'amar im b'chukotai. Shigzerat hamita. He wants to say that chukotai is death. Chok, because it's an ending, right? Shechakak Hashem. She'ein miyado matzil. Two things in life, right? Two things in life, death and taxes. Two things in life that are for sure. Gzeirat hamita shechakak Hashem she'ein miyado matzil im telchu behem shekol yom yomai lemachar yamut bazeh vaday vet mitzotai tishmeru. He says, this is Rabbi Elazar, this is what he told the Talmidim. Walk all your days bechok. All the time realize, I could die. I could die today. I could die right now. I could die tomorrow. I need to do tshuva. That's what im bechukotai telechu means. A very beautiful and morbid reading of this pasuk. Last interpretation. I have to be honest, I was hoping for more of a bang, but this is his last interpretation. He says, we could understand it based on the Gemara in Bava Kama, Bava Metzia, on Pehe, where it tells the story about how Eliyahu told certain people that when they go up to Shamayim, they can tell which chariot is Rabbi Chiya's. Rabbi Chiya was one of the great Tanaim, who actually compiled the Braitot. And the Gemara tells a whole story about Rabbi Chiya. What made him so special is that he used to teach small children and teach them in a way that they would teach other children. And he basically made sure that Torah would never be forgotten from Bnei Israel. That was his merit. He was very enthusiastic about that. And the Gemara says that Rabbi Chiya is different from everybody else when they get to Shemayim. Why? Because everybody else, when they get to Shemayim, they sit in their agala, they sit in their car, and the car gets carried up to Shemayim by angels. Sounds good, right? That sounds great. Rabbi Chiya's was not carried up by angels. Rabbi Chiya's car, his agala, goes up by itself. It goes up by itself. He doesn't need angels for it to go up. That's his special merit. So what does that have to do with anything? So the Aruch Chaim says, "Im b'chukotai taylechu perish b'amsa'ut hishtadlut b'torah." If b'chukotai, if you do what Rashi says, to you amelim b'torah, if you toil in Torah and you dedicate your life to making sure that you and everybody else is able to learn Torah, then l'mod l'lamed karamuz b'tevat chukotai, then teilechu perush me'atzmachem k'Rabbi Chiya v'lo titzdarchu l'malachim l'olich etchem. Then you'll be like Rabbi Chiya. Your chariot will go up on its own. If you're amelim b'Torah in chukotai, then teilechu. One day, your chariot will go up on its own. That's number 42. We skipped a few in between, but Be'ezrat Hashem, we learned a lot, and you could take at least one of these for the Shabbos table, I hope. Any questions before I shut down the Zoom? I'm not going to summarize. I'm not going to do any chazar. We're not going to go over everything.
Yishak koach.
Baruch tiyah. Kol hakavod. And I want to welcome everybody from Dudi's hometown. Welcome to the Shiftei Parsha Shir.
Welcome all. Welcome.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yishak koach.